This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. In our last episode, we checked in with two North State counties about their plans after getting the green light from California Governor Gavin Newsom to move further into stage two of the state's reopening. Today, we'll check in with four more North State counties. We'll check in with Shasta, Yuba, and Sutter counties about their approved attestations, and we'll check in with Trinity County on where they are with the submittal process. As always, if you have story ideas or comments for us, you can ask us anything on our message line 433-9216 or visit our website, mynspr.org. For Thursday, May 14th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, the news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. The number of Californians fighting the coronavirus topped 70,000 as 1,759 additional infections were confirmed, according to figures released Wednesday by the California Department of Public Health. That represents a 17% increase over a week earlier. The department recorded 87 deaths over the 24 hours ending Wednesday. Fatalities are also up 17% compared to a week ago. The fiscal crisis unleashed by the coronavirus led Governor Gavin Newsom to propose significant cuts to education, healthcare, and programs to help the state's homeless population under a revised budget released Thursday. The state faces a $54 billion deficit due to the pandemic. In outlining his $203 billion spending plan, Newsom returned to a central theme that it's up to the federal government to help ease the pain.
The federal government, we need you. These cuts can be negated. They can be dismissed. With your support, this is your moment.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has proposed giving states and local governments nearly $1 trillion as part of a second and larger pandemic stimulus package. Republicans have pushed back. State Senator Jim Nielsen, who represents much of the Sacramento Valley, released a statement Thursday saying the only way to ease the budget crisis is by having people return to work. He dismissed the idea of federal aid as, quote, not a budget solution. Cuts to existing programs and operations would offset about a quarter of the projected shortfall. This includes a 10% pay cut for state workers and deferring payments to their pension funds. In the North State, the number of cases declined by 1 to 134 across the 11-county region after Trinity County officials announced that a second patient identified there was being reclassified as a Humboldt County patient, where the person had been residing for at least a month. Otherwise, no new cases were identified, though Glenn County authorities have traced two recently identified cases to a market on 4th Street in Orland. Officials are asking anyone who visited Tienda Rodriguez between the 1st and 12th of May to be on the lookout for symptoms, avoid contact with others, especially the elderly, and to call County Public Health if they had been in the shop, whether they have symptoms or not. The number is 934-6588. According to the most recent figures available, 36 cases have been identified in Sutter County, 32 in Shasta, 25 in Yuba, and 20 in Butte County. 7 cases have been diagnosed in Glenn County, 5 in Siskiyou, 4 in Plumas, 3 in Colusa, 1 in Trinity, and 1 in Tehama. No cases have been found in Lassen County. The number of deaths in the region remains at 8. As businesses start reopening, the U.S. Forest Service announced it will reopen many campgrounds, group campsites, and picnic areas in the Shasta Trinity National Forest effective Saturday. These include areas near Shasta Lake, Trinity, Big Bar, Yola Bola, McLeod, and Hayfork. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Today, we're continuing to check in with counties in the North State on their reopening plans. By late Thursday afternoon, three more counties in the state had been added to the list of approved counties that can start to reopen with a little more leeway than others in the state, bringing the total number to 20. Siskiyou County was one of the additions from the North State. The rest on the list from our region are Butte, Colusa, Glenn, Lassen, Plumas, Shasta, Tehama, Yuba, and Sutter counties. Today, we'll hear from a few of them. We'll start with Shasta County. NSPR's Mark Albert recently spoke with Carrie Schutte, spokesperson for the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency, about their approved attestation. The first thing he asked was, what is permitted in Shasta County Stage 2 variants and what's not?
Businesses that are allowed to be open now, all with modifications, I want to make sure that's very clear, is retail businesses, shopping malls, dine-in restaurants, car washes, pet grooming, tanning facilities, office-based businesses, although we are still encouraging folks to telework if they can, outdoor museums and galleries, and childcare facilities. Not allowed to open yet include nail salons, tattoo parlors, gyms and fitness studios, bars, lounges, and nightclubs, movie theaters, state gaming facilities, indoor museums, libraries, community centers, pools, playgrounds, religious service, concert venues, festivals, hair salons, and of course, any mass gatherings that are prohibited statewide.
Now, just because businesses are open doesn't mean everything is back to normal. What specific changes are businesses being asked to make about how they operate?
We have guidance on our website, ShastaReady.org, that lists all of the industries that are open now. It's state guidance that we have adapted and linked to on our website. But our retail businesses, dine-in restaurants, all of these different places are needing to modify their businesses to help ensure social distancing and all of those things that are necessary to keep the employees and the customers safe.
Are people mostly receptive to the guidelines they're receiving, or are businesses kind of viewing virus-related rules as more needless red tape?
I don't know how local businesses are feeling. It seems that the vibe in our community is that people are happy to be able to go in and sit down at a restaurant and enjoy a meal. It's not something we've been able to do for quite some time. There's definitely a sense of excitement about it, and hopefully we'll be able to continue moving forward. It is really important that everybody continues to follow the guidelines. I know that it's not a real easy thing to do sometimes, but if we can continue to keep our case numbers low, we can continue to move forward in this process. We've been telling people that this is in no way a one-way street. If we see a huge spike in cases, a lot of hospitalizations, we may need to take a step back. So I think people are really committed to doing things the right way, following the rules so we can continue moving forward.
Russ, what would be that trigger? How bad would things have to get before we all had to go back home?
We have a surveillance plan in progress right now that will indicate exactly what happens when we reach certain markers. I couldn't tell you specifically now if we have this number of cases, exactly what would happen. We do have markers for which when we hit them, we need to regroup and see what we need to do to help make sure that we stop whatever forward progress is making with this disease.
Going forward, of course, this is a very difficult time for everyone. And I think it's even especially more hard to enforce or to get people to take this seriously since it's invisible and there aren't a whole lot of cases locally. What provision, if any, is being made to assure that people are actually following these guidelines and continuing to social distance and using other protective measures as phase two rolls out and as these businesses are open?
We can only take this step forward because we are prepared, and people still need to avoid non-essential travel and mass gatherings. For instance, our local businesses were able to safely open with these adaptations because we have these other protections in place. That staged plan is necessary to help us limit the spread of COVID-19, and it really does rely fully on the engagement and cooperation of people and of businesses. That component is pretty critical, is that this really is part of our social contract to protect each other while continuing to help our economy move forward.
But if people are violating this or they're not taking it all that seriously and they're violating those guidelines, is anybody going to be going around to check how well folks are complying? And if they're not, to talk to them, revise what they need to do, remind them of the importance of it? Or is this really kind of going to be a voluntary enforcement and up to nobody?
We have a business engagement team that's been doing a great job since the beginning of the situation with connecting with businesses, helping them understand what the guidelines are. In many cases, we have found that people who have called and reported that a business was open illegally, quote unquote, the business engagement team would reach out to them and find out that the business owner simply was not aware that there were certain requirements in place. Most folks have been pretty receptive to making the changes that are necessary in order to stay open. There are regulatory agencies like ABC and the Cosmetology Board, for instance, that have been pretty proactive about reaching out to businesses under their organizations who are not complying with the guidelines. So there's that when it comes to enforcement.
But there's not going to be any county entity doing that.
At this very moment, there is not, beyond enforcement.
So it would be by somebody complaining or something.
Well, and when people complain, that's what we've been doing is we've been going out. There have been a couple of businesses, one or two, where we have sent letters, certified letters, saying that they are in violation of the state order and they did not change what they were doing. And so we did refer them to the Reading Police Department for follow-up. They are also taking an educational approach to the situation at this moment in time.
That was Carrie Schutte, spokesperson for the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. The bi-county area of Yuba and Sutter counties also had their attestation recently approved by the state. Again, we turn to NSPR's Mark Albert, who recently spoke with Russ Brown, Yuba County's Media and Community Relations Coordinator, about what businesses can now operate there.
A pretty decent list of things are allowed now that we're kind of moving, accelerating to the second part of stage two. You will see already a lot of the curbside retailers and other retailers opening up. You all see them open up fully, but with that social distancing in place, other requirements that are there to protect the public. More dining restaurants are going to be opening up, and that's good. But again, they'll look a little bit different. Won't be as crowded in there because there will be space between the tables to make sure it's safe. The state does look to the second part of stage two for opening up schools, but Yuba and Sutter region, along with other surrounding counties, don't see it as quite as safe, so they won't be allowing that in stage two.
The Bureau of Alcoholic Beverage Control sent inspectors to Yuba County and elsewhere, informing restaurants that they can't serve alcoholic beverages. I know that bars must remain closed, but is the action by ABC focused on bars in restaurants where someone can sit at the bar in the restaurant and drink without getting a meal, or is it any alcoholic beverage with or without a meal?
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion about that, even for us. And in all that, I know there's been some clarification in terms of how restaurants can operate. And they can indeed have people come in and eat and order drinks to go with their meals. That is allowed. There was some lack of clarity when ABC came in and initially asked businesses to close because they simply had a bar in their business. So although those bars could have let people take home drinks according to the new temporary rules they have in place. So that's been cleared up a little bit. It sounds like the restaurants can open it. If they serve alcohol, they can. But if they have a bar in their restaurant, they cannot open that bar area and have people congregate in there.
Do you know the rationale for what ABC was doing? That was it they were concerned people might linger over a beer for a couple hours and, strike up a conversation, start gathering?
I mean, it is a different – a bar is a different social gathering than a restaurant. And really on the restaurants, when people come in, we're asking them to stay in their household groups, not invite, a friend over and let's sit down and have a dinner together. Let's not invite even grandma who lives across town to come over and let's sit down at a meal, because that's kind of the whole thing we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid these outside of the household contacts for close periods of time that can spread COVID-19 beyond the household if it does occur. So that's one of the safety precautions in place.
These steps for businesses all require planning, thinking, and time. And I suspect some business owners may be less than enthusiastic about implying and enforcing rules. Additionally, officials are sort of asking them to potentially confront customers or employees. What kind of support or is there any follow-up that the county is going to do to make sure that people are sticking with these rules and following these guidelines?
We are really working on terms of the one-on-one with the compliance group. And the compliance group is just It's a U.S. Senate compliance group. Businesses call them and they kind of go back and forth and say, I have this type of business. What do I have to do? Or my business is kind of a niche business. It kind of falls in between a couple categories. May I operate? Can I operate with modifications on how I do business? There are those conversations taking place constantly. And we have set up a hotline and an email so that people can get that kind of information. I mean, we also have a number for those people that see things that they're concerned about, because a lot of residents certainly don't like the protocols that are put in place. Others demand them. So we find ourselves in between that. And really, as a representing the health part of things, these restrictions are important. They are vital to put in place because we cannot handle any significant surge in COVID-19 cases. I know people feel like it's done, it's over, it's not going to happen. And we don't know that. We're still counting cases every day now in the Yuba Sutter area, so we know it's with us. If it gets into a large group and spreads quickly, it can actually inundate and overwhelm a very, very fragile health system that we have here. We have a single hospital for two counties. And while it's doing well now, that may not always be the case if we have a significant surge.
So for enforcement or for following up, this is going to be entirely voluntary, or will, you know, businesses be getting visits, and if things are not being followed, that they'll get some sort of verbal warning or something?
Right. And part of what's going on right now, it's obviously education, verbal warnings, perhaps in a sense. We don't have the heart necessarily to step up and do the enforcement, but it can happen. It may get that point. We don't want it to reach that. I think the businesses have to really own this, and customers have to really start protecting their businesses. I mean, the businesses can put themselves in jeopardy if the customers kind of force themselves in there and just decide they're going to walk in without doing social distancing, without doing the facial coverings. It puts the businesses at risk. So it's kind of on the customers to take those measures and on their own and protect the businesses by doing the social distancing and keeping those facial coverings on when they go in. It is a very small price to pay to put on a facial covering for 20 minutes. I know it's a small one because I go to work every day and I have to wear it the moment I walk in until the moment I leave. And it's not comfortable, but after a while you can get by. It's just a short duration, especially if you're just going to a grocery store for 20 minutes.
That was Russ Brown, Yuba County's Media and Community Relations Coordinator, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. You're listening to special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. Stay tuned. This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Over the past week, Trinity County reported its first two positive confirmed cases of COVID-19 since this pandemic started. The cases come at a time when the county is preparing to present its own documentation to the state to lift additional restrictions on businesses. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently caught up with Marcy Jo Kudzel, the public health nursing director for the county, about where Trinity County stands in its reopening process. But the first thing he asked was what could be shared about the county's first cases of COVID-19 and whether they could signal an outbreak.
So I can tell you that it does not signal an outbreak. I can tell you that these cases are not linked. And I can tell you that one of the cases was an asymptomatic individual, the first case. The second case, we've been in close collaboration and coordination with our Humboldt County public health partners. And we have, in fact, transferred that second case to the Humboldt County public health jurisdiction for the reason that the person is primarily residing in Humboldt County, but we'll continue to work with Humboldt County as we do with all other public health departments in other counties in California, and in particular those surrounding counties, to coordinate and identify potential exposures in border communities.
Are these patients expected to recover?
That's a difficult question. I can't really answer that right now because this virus has surprised us on many levels. More information continues to come out about this virus and how it impacts those of any age. And so it's very hard to predict that at this moment in time.
You mentioned one of the cases was an asymptomatic case. Are people who want to get tested but aren't showing symptoms, are they encouraged to get tested in Trinity County?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're looking at is how to expand testing, not just access for those who may have symptoms consistent with COVID-19, but also asymptomatic individuals. And to do that, we're strategizing on multiple levels. One of those is working closely with our healthcare partners to ensure that they have what they need to be able to test their clients. One of the challenges in Trinity County is being that we're a frontier rural community. We have challenges around access to testing. We are utilizing the two OptumServe sites that are placed, well, actually there are three, Humboldt, Redding, and Tehama County, and putting out a press release as we speak today regarding how to access those sites. There's no barrier to testing at this point through those systems. Anyone in the public who wishes to be tested can. We're also working with the California Department of Public Health. As you know, Governor Newsom had announced a couple of days ago expanding testing capability in the northern rural counties. And so although we'll not be getting an OptumServe site in Trinity County, we will have access to a mobile testing site. We don't have details on that yet. California Department of Public Health will put those out and be in communication with us as soon as they know more. We're working with our hospital, CAO, and lab director to try to figure out a way to get rapid testing to them for their very high-risk populations, including the skilled nursing facility, and working with our clinics, as the clinics will be an important strategic partner in expanding testing, and working closely with them to ensure they have what they need. And that's kind of where we're at right now with the expanded testing.
As you move forward toward that more expansive testing, more access to testing, what could that mean for your understanding of how the virus may or may not be behaving in the county, or how you address cases that come up positive?
As part of our plan moving forward, both concerning expanded testing and modifications to the stay-at-home order through an attestation that the governor has opened up for rural counties that qualify, we have a containment plan that includes how we will manage expanded testing numbers and containment in positive cases and contact tracing of those individuals and perhaps entities that may have had exposure.
As you know, several counties in our region in the North State have been given the official go-ahead by the state to go further into the Phase 2 reopening roadmap. Trinity is not on the list yet, but you are talking about that attestation plan. How is that going along, that certification process?
We have completed the attestation. We've met with the California Department of Public Health, our health officer, myself, and our HHS director, and received some technical assistance. So we have finalized the attestation. We will not be releasing that until our Board of Supervisors has the opportunity to review it and comment. Our health officer has reviewed and approved. And again, we're just waiting to meet with our Board of Supervisors. We've received a letter of support from our hospital, and we are planning to move forward in a strategic, safe way.
As our region does continue to open, with more restaurants opening and retail moving forward with their own plans, can you perhaps explain what that could mean for the risk of possible exposure to the virus going forward?
The Public Health Department, our OES, our county administration, and our health officer, we're all incredibly mindful of the tightrope that we're walking. This is something that we have not seen before. And while we want to bring our public along with the facts that are grounded in science, but also looking at how do we balance economic health in that, you know, we're moving from essential and non-essential in phase two to looking at what are safe or less safe entities to open and venues to have. We want to ensure the safety of our populations. This virus is changing. We're learning more about it every day from health experts on how it is spread and how it manifests in individuals. And what we know to be true based on the guidance that experts have given us is that this virus doesn't seem to be going away. And so we want to be mindful of limiting businesses and those entities that present a higher risk for transmission. And we know that as communities around us and as we open up, because the virus is still there and can infect others at a very high rate and exponentially, that we have to balance safety and economic health. And we think that we're approaching this in a way that does that.
This next question may venture into territory that could be a bit personal, and I'd understand if you wouldn't want to answer. But I'm curious whether you would feel comfortable, personally, going out and dining at a restaurant or visiting shopping centers at this point in the crisis and as restrictions are beginning to be lifted.
What I can tell you is that I wouldn't ask others to do anything that I would not be willing to do myself. And so if I ask our public through an attestation or whatever form, if our county administration, our Board of Supervisors asks the public to understand that, say, for example, restaurants may be identified as higher risk because the research tells us that. Again, we are grounded in science and fact. And because what we know about transmission, we can identify those higher risk entities, that if I'm asking our public not to do it, I would not do it.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about Trinity's response to the virus or about the pandemic in general that you feel is important to share?
I'm just so incredibly humbled and proud of just the amount of work and effort and dedication that has been shown, not just by our county administration or Board of Supervisors, our public health team, our HHS team, all of our partners, law enforcement, our healthcare systems, but also our public that has made incredible sacrifices. And they're just demonstrating how amazing Trinity County can be when we all come together.
That was Marcy Jo Kudzel, the Public Health Nursing Director for Trinity County, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. And that is your program. If you have any thoughts for us, leave them on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30, or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned.